Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Dear Father, we are so thankful for all of the things that you are to us. You are God. You are our healer, our shelter, our portion. We rely on you. We thank you for this Palm Sunday as we get ready to celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday. Open our hearts and our eyes and our ears that we can be transformed by the word that the pastor is going to bring to us, and that we may be changed from it, and that we can go out into the world and show others so that others would see us truly, that they would see us and say to themselves, these people have been with Jesus, right? And so just open our hearts, and I pray for the pastor as he delivers this word for us. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Good morning. If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 30. And while you're finding that, I just want to give an infomercial for the Hilldale Baptist Church Passion Play. I was over there last night. It started at 7. We got there at 6:15, and half the sanctuary was already filled. But I'm going to tell you, it was Holy Ghost. And I want to encourage you, there's one more showing today at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, I think some of our widowed ladies are going together to that. Girls, y'all are in for a great, great treat. But the Passion Play this year at Hilldale is off. The theme this year is free. My chains are gone. And they go through the last week of the Lord, and it's powerful. Had a meeting with Larry Robertson, their pastor, earlier in the week, and he said, Cal, it's going to be a little bit different spin on it this time, this year, and so you'll want to come. And so he was absolutely right. How many of y'all have seen the play? Well, as usual, Second Mile needs to get out a little bit more than we do. Go see that Passion Play today. It'll really bless you. Brother Andrew's right, man. And Kyle, thank you for your prayer. These are special days. And folks are going to come to church today and next Easter, next Sunday, Easter Sunday, that, you know, may not generally be here much the rest of the year. And so invite. I hope God lays somebody on your heart to bring with you next Sunday. And it's going to be a great, great, great week. And I'm looking forward to it. You're going to hear more about it as we move through this next week. So if you have found Matthew chapter 26, stand as we honor the reading of God's word. And this will probably wear some of you out, but we're going to read this whole passage. There's nothing like the word of God. Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each one of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said to him, you have said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Father, I pray your blessing. I pray your anointing. I pray your watch care over the reading, the preaching, and the teaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired word. Give us a word today, Father. We need to hear from heaven. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Please be seated. Well, it's Thursday of Passion Week in this passage of Scripture. Thursday morning. And the Passover festival was one of the biggest, probably the biggest Jewish festival of the year. And it was, of course, a celebration of the memorial, kind of a memorial celebration that they had victory over the death angel and they were led out of a land of slavery from Egypt. By the way, that's our testimony as well. All right. And so Peter and John, Luke's gospel tells us, come to Jesus and said, it's Passover time. Where do you want us to celebrate the Passover meal? Where should we go prepare that? And so Jesus says, well, go down into Jerusalem and you'll find a man carrying a water pitcher there and you follow him to whatever house he goes into and then you tell the master of that house, the Lord and his disciples want to eat the Passover meal at your place. And you know where they wound up having it? In an upper room. I personally believe this is the upper room of John Mark's mother's and father's home. And a lot of Christian meetings took place in the upper room. Several of you that went to Israel with me have been in the upper room. It's a real place. And that is there where they would celebrate the Passover meal. And so everything happened just like Jesus said it would to Peter and John. How many of you know Jesus is not only in control of the Passover meal, he's in control of the whole universe. Amen. Nothing happens without it first being filtered through his hands. And so the Passover meal was a memorial meal that the Jews would, every Jewish family would get together and celebrate that great memorial meal and the deliverance of God, how he brought them out of Egypt, out of a land of slavery. And there was three elements in this meal: a Passover lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. I'll say a little bit more about that in just a minute. But on the 10th of Nisan, of the 10th of the month of Nisan, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I'm not going to say Nissan because somebody will say I was selling vehicles for y'all. So a Passover lamb would be selected, okay? And then they would put that Passover lamb in a pen for 4 days. And then in that 4-day period, they would inspect the lamb for blemishes, flaws, spots, any flaws. And then on the 14th, the Jewish family would take that lamb to the Jewish temple precinct and have that lamb slain. And then they would take that lamb back to their house. Now, the Passover meal had to be celebrated in Jerusalem city limits. That's why Jesus had told Peter and John, we tend to forget Jesus was Jewish. Hello? So the next time you might make some smart aleck remark about the Jews, just remember Jesus is Jewish. All right? That's another sermon for another time. But anyways, everything had worked out just like they said it would. And so they sit down at this Passover meal. And amazingly, in this Passover meal, Jesus ordained and instituted another meal. We call it the Lord's. Some churches call it communion, whatever. But it was during that Passover meal that Jesus instituted and ordained the memorial meal that we call the Lord's Supper, and we remember his death. And y'all remember during the Passover, when the death angel passed over Egypt, anyone who had placed the blood of that yearling, that lamb, over the doorpost, the death angel passed over. And all of the Israelites were saved because they were under the blood. Am I communicating now? And so that's what that Passover lamb reminded the Jewish families as they sat down to that Passover meal, that God had delivered them under the blood of the lamb. And then the unleavened bread that they would eat reminded them of the haste that they left Egypt early that next morning. And the bitter herbs reminded them of the tremendous suffering they went through as slaves in Egypt. And so all of this is so, I mean, it just ties right in with what we call the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. But at some point in time along the way, the Jewish families had added 4 cups of wine in that Passover meal. Now, the first cup, they would drink it after a prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude for the deliverance that God had given to them. They would drink that first cup, and that wine was probably diluted with a little wine, because if you walked out of there after having 4 cups of wine, hello? And so I don't believe Jesus ever got anybody drunk, okay? That's another sermon for another. There's all kinds of sermons in this message today. Pray I stay on track, okay? And so, and then the second cup, they would begin eating the unleavened, eating the bitter herbs. And they would sing Psalm 113 and Psalm 114 and then drink the second cup. And then they would begin to eat the Passover lamb and the unleavened bread. And they would sing Psalm 115 and 118 and drink from the third cup during that time. And then the fourth cup was shared, and everybody had a drink from the fourth cup. And there's probably it was in between the third and the fourth cup that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, communion. Y'all with me now? Okay, so that's enough table setting. We need to get into the outline, the sermon outline this morning. And I just want to just make 3 or 4 comments about the Passover meal as opposed to the Lord's Supper. Number one, participation in both of these meals was crucial. Everyone was supposed to participate in the Passover meal. If you were Jewish, you were supposed to sit down at the Passover meal. Look at verse 17 again. It says, "Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us?'" Have you ever wondered who us or they was? Have you ever wondered that? Well, in this case, it's every Jewish family was supposed to participate in the Passover meal. They said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And then when you get to the Lord's Supper, listen to this. Verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. All of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin.'" Now, participation in both of these meals is expected, and it's crucial. You know, everyone in the Passover meal, every Jewish family would eat this meal together. And in the Lord, and it should not have changed. Every born-again baptized believer ought to come anytime we're observing the Lord's Supper. It's a time of communion. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time when we identify with one another and the body of Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, "Hello, brother. Hello, sister." It's a time when we all sit down symbolically at the Lord's table together with Him. Everyone, every born-again, there's only one family of God. There's only one church. Now, we got all these different fellowships. But friend, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have confessed your sin and turned from your sin and placed your trust and faith in Jesus and Jesus alone to save you, you're my brother, you're my sister. And so we would invite everyone here that's born again and baptized and living for Jesus and belongs to Him and following Him to sit down at the table and participate in a time of communion and fellowship together as we look back and remember His death. With me so far? All right, here's the second thing. And so we're going to invite everybody here to participate today if you're a believer. If you're a believer. And that's significant, okay? Secondly, examination during this meal is critical. There's an examination that ought to take place. Now, what about the Passover meal? Well, look at this. Look at verse 20. When the evening had come, He sat down with the 12, and now as they were eating, He said, Jesus drops a bombshell on them. Listen to what He says. Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. I got this in Israel, the picture of the Last Supper that He had with them. And Judas was sitting at His right hand. And He said, one of you will betray me. But what's interesting is, listen to what all the disciples said. He said, and they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each one of them began to say to Him, Lord, is it I? Every one of the disciples knew that they had the potential and the possibility of betraying the Lord and denying Him. And so there's an examination going on even in their hearts. Lord, is it me? Am I going to be the one? How many of you know we've all got the potential to betray Him and deny Him? I have in my life several times done that. I'm not proud of that. But there needs to be an examination to take place whenever we sit down at the Lord's table. One of the purposes in the Lord's Supper and communion is to gather together as the family of God for communion and fellowship, looking back and being thankful for what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, secondly, though, I believe God ordained and instituted the Lord's Supper so that we might remain holy and that we might be cleansed and that we might be washed and that we might be made whole. Where did you get that? I'm so glad you asked. Here's what 1 Corinthians 11:27 says. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup, they're talking about communion here, in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man or woman examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And that's the Bible word for death. And so there needs to be an examination that takes place as we sit down at the table. We need to just come clean with God and say, Lord, if there's anything between me and you today, I ask God that you'd put your finger on it. One of the purposes is confession and repentance of the Lord's table. He wants us to be clean. And so we examine ourselves, and if we sit down at the table and don't do that, we eat and drink judgment upon ourselves. And so as you're sitting here today, and we're going to have an altar time in just a minute or two, and that's to be a time of confession and repentance and getting everything right with the Lord. And you don't want to eat and drink judgment on yourself. You don't want to do that. And so this is to be a time of asking God, is there anything that you're not pleased with in my life? And then just confess it to Him and turn from it, forsake it, walk away from it, and receive 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so this is to be a time of cleansing, a time of purity, a time of purifying ourselves before the Lord. And by the way, some of you, I've had people respond this way, well, I just won't partake of the Lord's Supper. Well, guess what? This is the reason so many in the church in Corinth were sick and suffering. And many of them had died. Do you know God's serious about our sin? It's so serious to Him, He put His Son on the cross for us. So if you don't deal with your sin, guess who is going to deal with it? I read a statistic a few weeks ago that there are over, I think it said 53% of the people that go to the doctor, the doctors can't figure out why they're sick. I wonder if this could be the meal that heals. Oh, y'all, that's good preaching. I wonder, could this be the meal that heals us spiritually and relationally and socially and physically and spiritually and yes, financially? And so examine your heart today and just ask God, is there anything? And you know what He'll start doing? Pride, prayerlessness, greed, selfishness, jealousy, unforgiveness. He'll start pointing out, and you know, I'm just naming stuff that's wrong with me. Hello? And get that issue right and get it under the blood and it'll all be washed away. Hallelujah. Examination before and during the meal is critical. But who, I like the last point. Anticipation for this meal is coming. Watch this. Look what Jesus says in verse 29. He said, I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on. Not going to drink from that cup anymore until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He's not going to drink again of the fruit of the vine until He drinks with us in the kingdom to come. Look at your neighbor and tell them. Tell somebody, Jesus is coming. He's coming. Now, what we're talking about here is another meal that we're looking forward to with great hope and anticipation. We're talking here about the marriage supper of the Lamb. There is coming a time when all God's people are going to get home. Do you know that you're the bride of Christ? If you're a believer, you're a bride of Christ. And one of these days, girls and guys, God's going to make us beautiful. We're going to put these wedding garments on. I don't have time to get into a Jewish engagement and betrothal and ceremony and a Jewish celebration. Sometimes the celebration will last for a week, 7 days. And it is during this time when we get home after the rapture of the church, God is going to clean us up. And He's going to get rid of all those spots and blemishes and flaws and failures. And He's going to clothe us in His righteousness. And the garments that we're wearing will be the righteous acts of the saints. And we're going to sit down at this table called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, can you imagine? I mean, and all God's children are going to be there. The bride of Christ, that's the church. Who's the groom? Some of you are already upset. You're not going to be married to that old husband of yours. You're going to be married to Christ. How there's going to be a new level of relationship. And we're going to sit down at this table together. And John talks about some invited guests. You know, you always invite guests to a wedding. Well, the invited guests, I believe, are the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints. All God's people are going to be there. And we're going to sit down at this marriage supper of the Lamb. And oh, what a table, what a meal it's going to be. Man, there's going to be plates of peace, bowls of blessing, silverware for the saints, layers of love. Hallelujah. Silverware for the saints. Can you get? Woo! Now, I don't know about this, but it sounds good. I need to do a study on this. Some scholars believe the marriage supper of the Lamb will last for 1,000 years. I guess you'd make a case because we're going to reign and rule with Him. How long? And we're going to be eating and meeting and greeting with Jesus. That's what we've got to look forward to. And then watch what happens. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, after seeing that passion play last night, I got to thinking about this message And I got to thinking, I wonder what song, Brother Andrew, they sang. Probably out of the Hebrew hymn book somewhere, out of the book of Psalms, they sang as they went out to the Mount of Olives. And you know what song God laid on my heart last night? After looking at the cross and the suffering and the resurrection and how God loved us all the way to salvation. Isaac Watts's old hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. That's what this is all about today. Pray with me. Father, I want to thank you that you have been so good to us. Lord, this meal that we're about to sit down to, the bread reminds us of the broken, bruised, bloody body of Jesus and how he suffered. And of course, the cup reminds us of the blood that was shed so that we could be forgiven of all our sin. Jesus took our place. And if someone could die like that for me, surely I can live for him because he's alive forevermore. And so, Lord, as we sit down at the table today spiritually, if there's someone here who does not know you, who is not in a relationship with you, can I just share with you how you can leave here saved, born again, following Jesus? Can I just share with you what you need to do? Just agree with God about your sin. Just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. But Father, I believe your Son came to take care of my sin problem. And I believe he's alive forevermore. And I want to ask you to make him my Lord and Savior today. And I call on Jesus to save me. And he's the only way I can get to you, Father. And it's through your Son. Thank you for saving me. If you'll pray a prayer like that, God's looking at your heart. And you can be saved right here on Palm Sunday. I can't think of a better day to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the rest of us that are saved, we've got some business to do with the Lord Jesus. We need to be holy and pure. We need to have our sins cleansed and washed. We need to be set apart for his honor. Father, bless us now. Bless us now. As we seek God to honor you with our lives. Before we sit down at this table with you in communion and fellowship, I pray, Father, for all of my brothers and all of my sisters, and for those who have prayed to receive Christ today, we give you thanks and glory. In your name we pray. Amen. If you prayed to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today, if you just come, get up out of your seat and come forward. We want to share with you what you've done and the significance of that and what that decision entails and give you some things to take with you. And if you are saved, the altar's open. If you've got some issues, and I know what some of you think, well, if I get up and come to the altar, people will think that I've done something wrong. Join the club. That's what this altar's for. That's what this altar's for. And you need to come. So let's all stand. What are we going to say? This is your time of response. It's your time. You come. Just be in an attitude of prayer. Brother Andrew's going to play something for us. Sing something if he wants to. This is your time. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor,
about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.